across a video from Andrew Clavin. And Andrew Clavin was on my podcast. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Clavin. And we had a great time. In fact, he's probably one of my most enjoyable guests because he's a writer. He's an English major. And we got to talking about English and different things that we like, poetry that we like. And we really like the romantic poets, Keith Shelley, Sandra Collish Taylor. And we just got into that conversation. We connected. But most of all, he's a converted Christian. And he's the first person I said, and I've heard say this, and as soon as he said it, I knew exactly what he meant. He say, Christianity and the teachings of Jesus is a spirit that you have. It's not necessarily about all the different scriptures and things like that. It's just a spirit that comes over you and that you have. And he got into, I'm going to bring him up, there's a certain spirit that I have that, in spite of everything, and it has cost me a lot of time and money. And a lot of people think I'm naive. A lot of people think people take advantage of me and everything else. But this, and I can see why. And given that what it has cost me, I could be very well off, have six figures extra money if I didn't do this. And my wife would probably be happier too. But when I tell people I can't help but do this, this is who I am. And Mr. Clavin reminded me of why I do this. He reminded me why it's not just about money for me. So play this studio for me, please.
Shrugged. Ayn Rand was a prophet. Bastiat was a great French economist, wrote a 70-page book called The Laws. Everything that is in Ayn Rand that is brilliant is in those 70 pages. And if you read those 70 pages, or as you say, one of the thousand long speeches in Apple Shrugged, you get the idea. This is what she understood. She understood money. Yeah. But she didn't understand what comes after money. When you wear a dollar sign instead of a cross around your neck, you're missing the big point. And, you know, it's easy to prove this. It's like capitalism is wonderful. It is the best economic system. But prostitution is capitalism. Fentanyl is capitalism. Without the values, without people who know. In the same way, our Constitution is based on the idea that the people will be moral and religious. Capitalism has to be the same way. It's just based on profit. If it's just based on efficiency, it just becomes a murderous, you know, kind of slaughtering of culture. It's just the same way.
If you read the first third of Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand was a prophet.
Bastiat was a great French deck.
This sums up my feeling. In fact, I should say, I was thinking about how you merge capitalism and Christianity earlier. And he makes a great point. Look, if it's just about money, we're in trouble, babe. And he asked, what comes after the money? And to me, and I know right now a lot of people with a lot of money, the way they feel good is they donate to charity, but it's about more than that. And really, it boils down to how would you feel about yourself, about the world, if you woke up one day and all your money and all your material things were gone? What would you do? Would you freak out? Back in the Depression era, people were jumping off buildings to commit suicide. Would you be one of those people? Would you be one of those people who continue on and still try to do good for others and have faith that you will be taken care of? I'm going to end this podcast on this, and I hope I've tied a lot of this stuff together for you. But what it comes down to me, and once again, I think people think because I don't dislike anybody. I don't, money is not my God. Material things is not my God. And that I make decisions, I think like that. I think you're naive and we'll take advantage of you and stuff like that. But I'll just repeat very quickly here my story is that some of you heard. Some of you might know a couple of years ago when I had my surgery and the surgeon turned to my sister and my wife and said, you know, Lacey died when I came back to life. I can still see his face when he walked into to my hospital room. And I didn't know why he was looking at me like that. And he was giving me these strange look because I didn't know at the time that he had said I had died. But I was having visions and I saw God. And let me put it this way. Money does not compare to life. I got life. I came back. Your money ain't gonna save you. Your spirituality will. And so that's the way I look at it. If you haven't died and come back to life, and I'm not trying to be arrogant. There's very few things you could teach me about it. Because you don't know about the spiritual world. Everything to you is about the earthly world and money and things like that. And if you have an experience, there's nothing I can say to you, explain that to you. And that's the way I am now. In fact, my first visit after I got out of the hospital and my rehab, I walked in my doctor's office and he said, yeah, that L initially in your middle name must stand for Lazarus. And my point of it is that I try to do things the way Jesus teach me to do it. And I think that was my reward.
I mean, let's talk about capitalism for just a minute. Yeah, it wasn't yesterday. Elizabeth Warren, Michael Moore, Bernie Sanders, whose combined net worth, okay, they could buy and sell me a gazillion times. These are three multimillionaires sitting around selling socialism. Listen to this.
Over the last 40 years, the middle class of this country has declined while oligarchy is on the rise.
It's so crazy, the rich right now, the greed, the level of greed.
This is an organized effort just simply to take over our government and make the government work better and better for a thinner and thinner rich slice in America.
Like us, people who are sitting there. I mean, let's talk about this for a minute. What is the problem with capitalism? Capitalism is a brilliant system, which I don't think you can have. You can have capitalism without democracy or democracy without capitalism. People keep telling me, oh, China has got it. China is going to, oh, yes, China has invented capitalism with authoritarianism. Talk to me again in 10 years, because I think China will be in economic collapse or will have democratized, one or the other. But what is wrong with capitalism? Capitalism is a system just like American democracy. The American Republic is also a system that pits our natural instincts against one another for the common good. Okay, so I'm greedy. I want to make money. I want to do things for me. Under capitalism, under democracy, the best way for me to do that is to collaborate with you, right? So the best way for me to serve me is to invent an iPhone that you want to buy. And you give me the money for that iPhone because it's worth more to you than the money. You would rather have the iPhone than the money. And then I get the money. And that's the way capitalism works. What is the problem with that? The problem with it, and why do people who are so blessed to live in some kind of capitalist country, why are they constantly working to turn it into socialist countries when all around them socialist countries are collapsing? In Venezuela, where they're eating cats, not even dogs. I mean, dogs in Venezuela would be a delicacy. Cats, feh, right? You know, seriously, they're starving in this country that is just awash in oil and food and all everything you need because of socialism. Why does it happen? It happens because freedom and capitalism do not supply meaning. This is why our founding fathers said repeatedly, you're going to have religion. If you want to live by this Constitution, all our founding fathers said this, you're going to have religion. It wasn't because religion constrains you morally. It wasn't because religion will tell you, don't do this, don't do that. It's because religion will supply you with meaning in a system that's not meant to supply you with meaning. It's meant to leave you free to find meaning. And what is happening in the West is that we have lost the idea of meaning. You know, I told you yesterday, I'm reading this book by Steven Pinker called Enlightenment Now. And Pinker is basically a materialist. When I say that, what I mean is he doesn't really believe that you're there. He thinks you're a machine that produces the kind of illusion that you're there. Also, this book, Sapiens, that I read by Yuval Harari, he also says this basically the same thing. You're not really there. You don't really have free will. That's just an illusion over time. At the beginning of Pinker's book, he's giving a speech selling these goods. And I really like Pinker and her. I like them both. They're really good writers, really interesting books. They're just wrong. You know, they just happen to be wrong about a very important thing. Somebody gets up and says to Pinker, why should I live? Why should I live if what you're saying is true? And I'm going to give you his answer as he says he has rewritten it for his book. He says, in the very act of asking that question, you are seeking reasons for your convictions, and so you are committed to reason as the means to discover and justify what is important to you. And there are so many reasons to live. As a sentient being, you have the sentient being, you have the potential to flourish. You can refine your faculty of reason itself by learning and debating. You can seek explanations of the natural world through science and insight into the human condition through the arts and humanities. You can make the most of your capacity for pleasure and satisfaction, which allowed your ancestors to thrive and thereby allowed you to exist. You can appreciate the beauty and richness of the natural and cultural world. As the heir to billions of years of life perpetuating itself, you can perpetuate life in turn. You have been endowed with a sense of sympathy, the ability to like, love, respect, help, and show kindness, and you can enjoy the gift of mutual benevolence with friends, family, and colleagues. And because reason tells you that none of this is particular to you, you have the responsibility to provide to others what you expect for yourself. You can foster the welfare of other sentient beings by enhancing life, health, knowledge, freedom, abundance, safety, beauty, and peace. History shows that when we sympathize with others and apply our ingenuity to improving the human condition, we can make progress in doing so, and you can help to continue that progress. All of those are beautiful things. None of them answer the girl's question. The girl's question is, why should I live? That means she needs a purpose. It's not meaning comes through purpose. All the things that he talks about are pleasures. They are deep, deep pleasures, very important, and they do enhance life. But let me just give you a reason why it's not a sufficient answer. If I took a gun and held it to your head, Every single day, I followed you with a gun to your head and told you what to do. And all my advice was good. I told you how to take care of your health. I told you how to treat your wife. I told you how to raise your children. I told you what job to take. And all my advice was right. Your life went great. You lived long and prospered. You were healthy. Everything went great. Your wife loved you. Your kids loved you. Because of everything I was telling you to do with that gun to your head, and you lived to be 100, and died suddenly in your sleep, I would have taken away from you everything that matters, because it's all about your purpose, and your purpose depends on your free will and your presence as a human being, as an actual being expressed through your body. Pinker does not believe that is true. He makes fun of people who say, you know, who belittle the great gifts of science. And I don't think they belittle them, but some people belittle the great, say, oh, well, it's just longer life. It's just more health. It's just more cleaner drinking water. Well, of course, those things are great, great blessings, but they are not the meaning of life. You are the meaning of life in your relationship to God, because it's only through God that any of this makes any sense at all. All the things that they don't believe in provide the purpose. If you don't believe in free will, how can you believe in freedom? If you don't believe in free will, why should people be free? I mean, you would have to make some kind of complex game theory argument that only working together could we come up with the right answers. But that's not true, and they don't believe it. Obama was always saying, I wish I could just rule by the experts, but we have all these annoying democratic laws. Freedom is there for you to find the meaning and purpose of your life, the development of yourself into its fullest expression of what God intended you to be. If you don't believe in that, you have lost.
You know,
I want to talk about this film. This is the other of the small films I watched over the weekend. And I really liked it. I will warn you that my wife found it a little slow, so it may be a guy film in some way that I didn't realize. But this is a movie about capitalism. And what I liked about it is that it got both the good and the bad of capitalism. And I always talk about, you know, systems are like language. You know, language never quite expresses the deepest things. You know, you can't really talk about God, about love, about all the most important things, because language is a rude tool, and systems are the same way. Capitalism is the closest we've ever come to a free market system, but it has a lot of flaws. It does, you know, overdo things sometimes. You know, we talk about, somebody asked me recently, a young person asked me recently, I frequently say that the idea of objectifying women is a false idea made to make men's natural urges and lusts and desires, made to make them sound like they're bad. Like it's bad that men like to look at pretty girls. Oh, that's objectifying women. And somebody said, well, don't commercials where they sell you a product with a beautiful girl, isn't that objectifying women? And I said, you know, commercials, that's objectifying men. It's essentially saying to them, oh, look at this, you can have this girl if you buy our car, which is not nonsense, you know? So essentially, that's all commercials do that. And commercials do, in fact, cheapen our discourse, and we've come to accept them. We've come to accept the way they manipulate us. That's one thing that capitalism does that's not so good, the way it sells drugs so that they invent a drug that maybe helps people who have a chemical imbalance and are depressed, and they start to sell it to you like if you're depressed at any time and all this. So here's a movie that just gets this right. It's called The Founder, and you may not – has anybody seen it?
No.
Okay, and it's about Ray Kroc, who basically discovered – two brothers selling hamburgers. The two brothers were named McDonald's, and he discovered them, and he took this idea, and he saw what a great idea it was, and he took it to the next level. And it is about the good of that and the incredible creativity that capitalism inspires and rewards, and it's about how that creativity gets somewhat corrupted as things get bigger and bigger and bigger, because it is part of capitalism that things get bigger and bigger and bigger. Michael Keaton is the star, another great performance. He's really a terrific actor, and he's had a kind of renaissance recently. He plays Ray Kroc. And here's a sequence, this terrific sequence, where what he realizes, they're having a hard time as they get bigger and bigger. They're having a hard time keeping the standard of the restaurant up. And this is very important to these McDonald brothers, that these restaurants keep a high standard. And Kroc suddenly has an inspiration. He suddenly realizes that there are people in America called Americans who want to do a good job because they have good values. And he goes out and he starts to collect people to franchise, to run these franchises, who he knows will be good at what they do because they believe in the American values. And he goes out and sells them. And this is a montage of him selling McDonald's franchises to, you know, lodges, temples, synagogues, any color, he doesn't care. He's not, no racism, couldn't care less, just wants people to take over these restaurants. Here's The Founder, starring Michael Keaton.
I'm gonna give you three words. I want you to take those three words home with you tonight. McDonald's is family. Isn't that great? You know what I say when I say that? Family. We're one big family, aren't we? You got mouths to feed. That's a family.
I'm looking for a few good men and women
who aren't afraid of hard work, aren't afraid to roll up their sleeves.
It's cliche, I know, but I'm looking for scrappers, hustlers, guys who are willing to roll up their sleeves.
They have a little drive.
They got a little fire in the belly.
Got a little chutzpah.
I stand right here before you today, and I'm going to offer you something as precious as gold. You know what that is?
Anybody?
Anybody? Opportunity.
It's opportunity.
Opportunity.
Opportunity to advance.
To move forward. To move up. To advance.
To succeed. To win.
To step up. The sky's the limit. Sky's the limit.
Grab the brass ring.
Give yourself a shot at the American dream.
Put your arms around the American dream.
Opportunity.
Because I'll tell you something.
At McDonald's,
just like this great nation of ours,
some of that elbow grease.
I guarantee you.
If you've got the guts.
You got the gumption.
You got the desire.
I guarantee you. You can succeed.
There's gold to be had
at the end of
those golden arches.
Golden arches.
Golden arches.
Now, who's with me?
Who wants to jump on that ladder to success?
Become part of the McDonald's Spucha.
Now, who's with me?
He's talking Yiddish to the Jewish people. He doesn't care, you know. He's just selling. Anyway, it is a really, really good movie about the beauty of capitalism.